I join with Charlie's announcements in saying to several of you that we're glad to see you back. I know that some have been sick and gone, and we do miss you when you're not here. And when there's sickness or problems and we can help or you need to, please feel free to call me or any of the ones that can be helpful to you. Relative to the meeting at Bargerton that begins next Sunday morning, if you know of people that live in that general area or close to Bargerton, give them a call this week and tell them about the meeting. They'll probably hear, but give them a personal invitation to come and be with us in that meeting. I'm going to be using the theme next week at Bargerton of Lessons from Special Days. It's a Sunday through Friday meeting. I've had a couple Sunday through Thursday meetings in the last few years, and most of them are Sunday through Wednesday. And I even have one in October that's Sunday through Tuesday. But this one is Sunday through Friday. I have 14 lessons. I'll probably tell them everything I know before the week's up there. But keep that in mind. Last Sunday morning, we introduced a series of lessons on the theme of Written in Red. And I told you then, and we'll probably mention this every Sunday for a while, that there have been those in the last few years who have said that what Jesus said is more important than what Paul and Peter and others said in the Bible. One lady made the statement one time that I will not accept anything in the Bible except what Jesus said. Well, I don't believe that any part of the Bible is any more important than any other part, in that all of it is the inspired Word of God. To us today, the New Testament, it may be more important than the Old Testament because it's that law under which we live. And certainly we need to study what's said by Peter and Paul and others in the New Testament. However, I am convinced that if you would not study with me anything except what's written in red, that which Jesus said, that I can teach the basic fundamental subjects of the gospel just using what Jesus said. And that's what we're going to do in this series of lessons. I suppose the text verse for the entire series would be the last chapter of the book of John, where he said, or the 20th chapter, next to the last chapter, where he said in chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, that many other signs truly did Jesus, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Does not that passage say that if we took what Jesus said, what is written, what is recorded about what Jesus said, that we could believe that Christ is the Son of God and we could have life through his name? I think that sort of says the thesis of our study, that if we only took what Jesus said, we could still know the truth. Last week, we talked about the subject of truth. Noticed how Jesus said that there is such a thing as truth, that we can know the truth can make us free, and we need to let it be our guide. This morning, I want us to go to the other side of the spectrum or coin and talk about Jesus and what he said about the learner. When a teacher stands up to teach in a classroom at school, that teacher must be prepared. That teacher needs to do a good job imparting the knowledge, but unless there's somebody there to learn, there can be no teaching. If I came into this auditorium this afternoon and there's nobody here at the building but me, and I got up here and taught a lesson, I used the word taught, but would I have really taught? I would be speaking, but I would not be teaching, because in order for there to be teaching, there has to be learning. And as important as it is for the teacher to be prepared, the learner needs to be prepared. We talk about a pupil sitting in a seat at school. We use the word student to refer to one of those, and we use the word learner. Now, Our main purpose for coming together this morning or any time is to worship God. And we ought never to forget that. But a part of our worship, as described in the Bible, is the process of teaching and learning. And when there is a lesson or a study such as we're involved now in this part of our worship, there needs to be the right kind of proclamation of that which is being presented, and there needs to be the right kind of reception. I have sat in a lecture and listened to what was being said and didn't hear a thing the person was saying. Have you ever done that? And I don't know whether I want to ask or not if you've ever done that when there's a preacher preaching. All of us have done that. Sometimes even in our private conversations, two of us are talking. Maybe you're talking to me and I'm not listening and I do not hear what you say, and I certainly do not understand what you're saying because I'm not tuned in, as it were. It is important for us to listen and to be learners. Think about that invitation that Jesus extended and notice one word in it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In John 6, after saying in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day, says in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Now there's the teaching side. They shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Perhaps the word learned here is used in the sense of belief, because when we're talking about what's necessary to become a Christian, we'll say hear and then believe. And here Jesus says, the one who hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. It may be the case that when a person does not come to Christ or to God, it's because he has not really learned about Christ. For if a person truly learns about Jesus and what he has done and what he means and what he can do for us, that person ought to want to come to Jesus and to come to God. And so the process of learning is so important. The passage we used last Sunday fits into this. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Is not that saying that unless we understand the truth and know the truth, we cannot become free? We would not know what to do unless we know the truth. At John 16:13, and all of these are written in red, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Notice he's going to guide you. You're the learner. He's going to guide you. On that occasion, he's specifically talking to the apostles. And he said that he's going to lead you to know what you need to know and to teach what you need to teach. In Matthew 13:9, Jesus simply made the statement, he that hath ears, let him hear. Open up the ears and listen to what God has to say. Later on, he said that there are those who hear and yet don't hear. Seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. That goes back to what we were describing a few minutes ago, that we're sitting there, the words are being said, but we're not listening, and so we don't really hear. In Mark 13:14, he said that one is to read and understand. That's the process of learning. A child at school has assignments made to read certain chapters and maybe read extra material that they may understand the subject that is being taught. And that is so true when we're dealing with the Word of God. We encourage people to be daily Bible readers, not just in the sense that they read one verse each day and can say, I've read the Bible, but in the sense of regular study of God's Word to show ourselves approved unto God. Jesus said, He that reads needs to read and to understand. In Luke 24:35, where he was talking to the two men on the road to Emmaus, and they did not realize who he was at first, there's a statement that says that he opened their understanding. Now, there may have been some miraculous part in that at that time with Jesus. I don't know. Or it may just be that he stopped and showed them who he really was and caused them to understand that this was Jesus himself and they needed to listen to him. But he says he opened their understanding. Now, all of these passages emphasize to us that we need to be learners. We need to be learners. We need to be teachers. The Bible says that. But we also need to be learners. A second point that Jesus makes is that we need to desire to learn. I taught 8th grade math 2 years. I know from experience what it is like to teach kids or young people. I have taught many different types of classes, and most of you have at one time or another. You know how important it is to have a child who has a desire to learn. Even one whose IQ may not be as high. It's a pleasure to have when that child is just seemingly seeking knowledge, just almost sitting out on the front of the seat to listen to what's being said and more or less is saying, "Here I am, tell me, I want to know, I desire to learn." And there are some people who have a great deal more desire to learn than others. In John the 7th chapter in verse 17, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak the truth or speak of myself." Jesus was saying there that one needs to have the desire to learn if he really wants to do God's will. If any man will do his will, if he really desires to know God's will and to do it, Jesus says he's going to be able to come to an understanding. Most of you remember one of the Beatitudes. It says in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We normally use that passage in this context of learning. It involves more than that. It's really hungering and thirsting after righteousness, not just hungering and thirsting after knowledge. But hungering and thirsting after knowledge would be a part of hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what he's emphasizing there is the desire. Blessed is the man who has a hunger and a thirst for that which is right, which would include the Word of God. Think about yourself for just a moment. Do you really want to know what God says? Do you really want to know as much as you can learn about what God has to say? Or are you just willing to know as little as possible to get by? I never shall forget when my son was in, I think, the senior year of high school. Came home one day and said, "I have figured up and all I've got to make on this final test is 45 and I'll get a B. And I turned and said to him, "Is that what I'm sending you to school for? To spend your time figuring out how little you can make and get by?" Well, I don't think that was his attitude all the time, but it is the attitude of some people all the time. They don't enjoy study. They don't enjoy learning. They're satisfied with ignorance or a high degree of it. And when it comes to God's Word, it appears that there are those who are satisfied just to sort of know enough just to get by and be ignorant of God's Word technically. What is your desire? How much do you desire to learn the Word of God? I have had people sitting in the audience who seemingly were just ready to swallow everything that you could teach or at least consider it. And I've seen people that I thought were not listening to a word that was said. What is our desire to learn? Jesus said you need to hunger and you need to thirst after righteousness and you need to want to do His will, and that would involve knowing what that will is. So Jesus emphasized the importance of the desire to be a learner. And then he had a lot to say about the process of learning. He emphasized the what. For example, in Mark 4 and 24, he said, "Take heed what ye hear." How many times have you heard a preacher, you've heard me say it, encourage people in the audience to go home and take your Bible and check these things to see if it's the truth? The reason we're making that statement is that we realize that it's important that we teach what. We teach what is the truth. Take heed what ye hear. In John 17, in the prayer that Jesus prayed, where he prayed that they all might be one, he said, "Through my word, teach the what." And on some occasions he said, "Well, you go here and there to make disciples," and we're talking to the Pharisees and places like Matthew 23, "and when you make disciples of them, you make them twofold the child of the devil, because you're not teaching what." Suppose today, as you look at some of these television evangelists, and it appears that there are thousands of people sitting there listening, really involved in listening, and then you listen to the message that's being taught, and it's not what God's word says. They're not teaching the what. So Jesus said you need to be sure that you listen to the what that is being taught. He said in Matthew 15, verse 7, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Went ahead and said they reject the commandments of God. They're teaching the commandments of men. What good is it going to do if we go out into this community and into the world and we convert hundreds and millions of people to be with us if we're not teaching them the truth, the what? We would, as Jesus said, make them twofold a child of the devil. We need to be concerned about the what, but he also said we need to be concerned about the how. We notice Mark 4:14 that says, or 4:24, "Take heed what ye hear." Luke 8:18 says, "Take heed how ye hear." One says what, the other one says how. And that goes back and underscores what we've previously said about having the right attitude. Take heed how ye hear. I used the example just this week in a lecture at Christian Training Series, and I think I've used it before here. We need to sit in a class or in a part of our worship like this with a rake instead of a pitchfork. I think sometimes we sit with a pitchfork ready to reach over to our neighbor and gouge him and say, "Listen, you need this." And a lot of people will say as they leave the services, even in my meetings, and I hope they're joking, will say, "I tell you, if he had been here, he would have gotten the lesson he needed. If he had been here." Usually what I'll say is, "Well, come back tonight and maybe I'll touch those things you need." But anyway, a pitchfork. What we need is a rake where when someone's teaching, we reach out there and rake it up to us, to understand what's being said and to consider it. And as we pray in many of our closing prayers, to help us to take this lesson and apply it in our everyday lives. We need a rake to pull it up to us. That's the how of listening to the Word of God. Having our minds open. We need an open book for the what, and we need open minds for the how when it comes to understanding. And it's interesting to me, in looking at Matthew's account of the Great Commission, which Jesus gave and which is written in red, that he said before and after we become Christians, we need to be learners. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Folks, understanding God's word is a lifetime process. And when we die, we will not know everything about the Bible. We need to learn before we become Christians. We cannot become Christians unless we learn. The Ethiopian eunuch was told that. And then after we become Christians, that's just the beginning. We need to continue to be learning. I have been a Christian now for 55 years. I'm still in the process of learning. Well, that's a bit longer than that, 65 years. I can't even figure, somewhere in that area. But I'm still learning. I'll sit down to study one of these lessons that I'm going to use here, and I may go back and get an outline that I prepared a long time ago, but I'll sit down and start looking at that and searching through the scriptures, and there are some points that I'll see that I had not seen before. Frankly, I'll admit to you that these 22 outlines that I'm using in this series, I prepared and used about 12 or 15 years ago at Henderson. And I've used some of them in meetings since then. But on each one of them, I'm taking it and going back and restudying it and looking at it from what I know today and maybe something I've learned since I prepared that outline. And this week, I sat down and took the old one and notes that I had made and prepared a new outline for the lesson today. I'm in the process of learning. And as long as we live, we'll be like that. We need to hear and we need to understand. Hearing and seeing and understanding in the heart and being converted, Jesus said in Matthew 13:15. And he said that the things that go into the body to feed the body is not what defiles it, but that which comes out of the mind, that which we've learned, is that which will help us to do good or to do bad. Now, we've said that from these words of Jesus in red that we need to be a learner, we need to desire to learn, and we need to use the right process of learning. There are basically two applications that apply to this when we put it in focus as far as where we are and what we're doing. That means, just from common sense, that we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have to study the Word of God. Every Bible class that we have here is important. And I would almost guarantee you that if you're in the class on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, you will learn something. There may be times when you learn more than others. That's true. But I'll guarantee you that you will learn something. I want you to just stop and think about something for a moment. Now, let me preface this by saying that I know there are times that we cannot reasonably be at any service. Some of you here this morning who couldn't be here during the last few weeks because of illness and so forth, I understand that. During my wife's sickness of 87 days, I missed most of the services of the church. I wasn't able to go most of the time. I understand what's involved in being what we call providentially hindered. But I want you to think about it. There's a Bible class on Sunday morning, a sermon on Sunday morning, a sermon on Sunday night, a Bible class on Wednesday night. If a person just gets one of those, he's missed 75%. If a person gets two of them, he's missed half. And even if he just misses one, he's missed 25%. Now, someone might say, are you saying you think I have to attend every service? No, I don't think you have to attend any service. Usually when I make that statement, I add another statement to it. You don't have to go to heaven either. I don't believe we need to look at it from the standpoint that we have to. We need to look at it as an opportunity. The church at Henderson has a class for ladies and men on Wednesday mornings at 10. Usually have about 40. They usually have about as many in their ladies class as we have in worship here. Usually in the men's class, there's 12 or 13. Do I have to attend those classes? No, and I don't attend all of them because there are a lot of other things involved. But I'm just across the street from the church building. And they're meeting for a class over here to study, and the men that are in that class, most of them are men that have studied God's Word all their life, some of them preachers, retired. And I can go to that class and I learn something from it. Do I have to go to it? No. But do I want to? When it's reasonable for me to go, there's an opportunity for me to go and listen to God's Word again. I think we need to learn to want to take advantage of every opportunity that we have. I just can't imagine being at home and just sitting or doing something else that I don't have to do. Now, if it's something I can't control, I've already said that's another thing. But look at the opportunities. Let me give you an example. We've studied the book of Revelation here for the last 4 or 5 years, hadn't it been, John? Something like that. Last several months. And those who didn't come did not get the benefit of that study. We didn't answer every question in Revelation, but every time I go through it, I think I learn a little bit more about it than I knew before. What I'm saying is, if we're going to be learners, as Jesus has emphasized, we need to take advantage of the opportunities. And I would just encourage you not to look at this as something I have to do. If I don't go to every service, somebody's going to talk about it. But look at it. Here are opportunities that we have to learn God's Word. And then personal study. How much time do you use or put to studying God's Word on your own? There's something rather interesting in Luke, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read a little bit that's not written in red to set the context. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. And then verses 18 and 19 are in red, where it records what he said to them. And then in verse 20, he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. Now notice what he did. The book was brought to him. He took the book. He opened the book. He read from the book. He closed the book and gave it back to them and sat down. We need to spend more time in the book. Two little boys were watching their grandmother, who was rather old, and sitting in her chair reading her Bible. And one of them said to the other one, "What is she doing?" And the other one said, "I don't know. I think she's cramming for finals." You remember when we were in school and just before the final test, we stayed up all night studying, cramming? He said, "I think she's cramming for finals." Well, maybe we need not just cram, but isn't that the process of studying God's Word? And I'll tell you something. You will learn some things just by sitting down in privacy and in silence, not in a rush, and just reading from God's Word. You'll run upon some things you don't understand. You'll run upon some things you do. Occasionally, when I'm reading from the Bible now, I'll find a word and I don't know exactly what that word means. And I'll get up and go get my dictionary and look up that word so that I can understand how it's used in the context. It's amazing what you can learn from just reading. I have just finished reading the Psalms. I read them through fairly quickly. But even today I can think back and look at so many of those nuggets that are there. I'm in the process of reading Proverbs now. I suggested to you one time that you try reading Proverbs in a month, reading the first chapter the first day and so on. There's 31 chapters in the book. It's amazing what we can learn. Now that's what I'm emphasizing today. We need to be learners. We need to have our open minds. And two things that can help us on that is to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to listen to the Word of God being taught and to spend as much time as we can ourselves and just opening up the Bible and reading and knowing what's in the Bible from having looked at it with our eyes and seeing it for ourselves as well as listening to others and hearing with our ears to understand what he said. Jesus had a tremendous amount to say about learning. And now remember, what we've studied today was written in red. Every passage that I've quoted or read to you was in red, except I went back to get the beginning to show you the context of the passage there on one occasion. We can take what Jesus said and teach the truth on basically any subject, and we can learn from it. I hope you have been a learner today and that this will be helpful to you. And now, having learned God's word, if you've not acted on it, you need to do that today. You've heard it, you believe it, repent, be baptized for remission of sins, or if your life hasn't been as it should, come back and ask for forgiveness, as together we stand and sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do